Sam Amick, how are you?
Not cool, man. That was the old days. I'm not rocking the cords anymore.
I like the cords.
I know. Every so often.
Hey,
excited to be here. Thanks for it'll be fun to do this year.
Were you there last night? You were, right?
Yeah, buddy. I was noticing your Facebook stuff, so I got a glimpse of your experience. You were looking pretty dapper.
Thank you.
But yeah, I was definitely there. I was actually there. I know you and I had texted for a minute. I was there all day, and the unique part about that was just that for my routine, you know, going to the opposing team shoot around a lot of times is important. And so I went to the Spurs shoot around, and then, you know, as opposed to Sleep Train, where there was nothing, you know, really in the immediate vicinity of the arena, the neat part for me was go to shoot around, get a bite to eat downtown, snuck in a little workout at the gym that's downtown, you know, change clothes, took a shower, and then you're off and running at the game. It was kind of a, you know, a morning to night downtown arena experience. It was a lot of fun.
So two quick questions for you. Number one, you write for USA Today. You write about the NBA. Have you seen every arena in the NBA?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, Barclays was the most recent one. I've seen Orlando, which is another recent one. So I think we're good there. I mean, on the Kings beat days, that covered, you know, the other 27, 28. So I think I'm 30 for 30.
So then the question is, and I know you'll be honest, and don't worry, you know, we're in Sacramento. We all put our lives on the line for this arena. But what did you honestly think of the new Golden One Center?
I really, really like it. I love the architecture and the design outside and the fact that it's not just your typical, you know, kind of a circular structure and you know, the personality and some of the touches, you know, even the shades of Sacramento trees that are on the outside. I think it's great. The local touches inside. The one thing that makes it hard to answer that question is because I haven't gotten, like, all-inclusive tours of every arena in the NBA.
Right.
So in that regard, you know, I've learned more about Golden One than I have about most of the arenas that I've been in. But, is you know, that being said, even if I hadn't seen the insides of it, I mean, between the concourse and how spacious it is and the way that people flow throughout the building, the sports bar upstairs I think is really cool, where people just kind of chill up there and look down. I think it's pretty spectacular. They did a really nice job.
Well, and on top of that, Sam, I mean, the building is amazing. Opening night was amazing. But I think after two games of the regular season, what we're seeing in terms of a legitimate change and steps in the right direction with this team on the floor has probably been the most impressive thing about the whole start of the season to me.
Yeah, I mean, last night they played well, and there's no shame in losing to San Antonio, and they were in it till the end. And I like what they have going. I mean, I was talking to some other media folks after the game, and you know, a game like last night is just basically becomes a matter of talent. You know, they've got DeMarcus, and he's a top tier player, but Kawhi Leonard and the way that he took over that game late on both ends of the floor was something to watch. And you know, the Kings appear so far, and it's early, but to be scrappy, to be improved defensively, to be more cohesive as a group collectively than we're used to seeing. You know, Jerry Reynolds on the telecast in a win over Phoenix had a line that jumped out at me where he just flat out said, as far as defensive rotations, he said, we didn't see these rotations a year ago. And so whether you're playing Phoenix or San Antonio, that stuff doesn't, you know, that stuff translates no matter who the opponent is. And I think that's progress. And then you hear all these good things. Again, you qualify everything by saying it's early, but the market's coming out and saying that the relationship with him and Dave Yeager is really good so far. You know, I think they've got a lot to be excited about, but the NBA is just brutal. I was thinking this morning, you got Minnesota rolling in. They've got their own story. They've got their own motivations, and that's going to be another tough game.
Well, and yeah, you look across onto the Spurs side. I mean, they're now 2-0. They blew out the Warriors, had a little bit tougher of a contest against this Kings team, but they don't appear to have missed a beat. Dare I say, they were worse with Tim Duncan, right, Sam?
Exactly. There was a graphic last night that I thought was really funny. It was like the Lakers, the Spurs, and it was the Heat. you know, guys, big time players leaving the teams with which they've been for so long, and how in the first game without those guys, they won. And clearly the takeaway is everybody's better without Hall of Famers. there's something else. I had fun last night in the Spurs locker room, just getting to talk to those guys and catch up with them a little bit, because they're such an impressive operation. And, you know, like I talked to Kawhi Leonard, who I've gotten to know a little bit. So I just quick side story. When Kawhi was coming into the draft, I knew his agent real well. So I actually went to Vegas with Kawhi and did a sit down interview with him. We went to breakfast. And so I know him a little bit more than just the locker room setting. And so I'm talking to him last night about what he did in the offseason to get better. And I just pushed him a little bit, said, all right, man, MVP, like, are you hungry for this? Are you pushing for this? Is this a real goal of yours? And he just is such a Spurs answer. He says, nah, man, not at all. He goes, I turn in everything like that for a championship. Like, I just don't care. Like, it's just about winning. That's it. And you're just going, all right. I mean, clearly Greg Popovich has turned you into one of his robots, and you're part of the program. But there's something else.
Well, and also, to your point, after losing to the Spurs last night at home by 8, and then you couple that, as you said, with the Spurs' 29-point victory over the Warriors in Oakland, clearly the Kings are 21 points better than the Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Conference finals preview is what we saw right there. You know what I mean?
There really is, Sam. You know, there's things like transition defense. I've only seen that on television the last few years on the road. I don't know how he's done it. I'm in love with Dave Yeager. I got a man crush on this dude because he's just a real dude who connects with these guys so far. No 6-game losing streaks yet. But it seems that he has accomplished getting his signature on this team, I think, a lot quicker than a lot of us thought he would.
For sure. I mean, again, those comments that Cousins made the other night, I actually wrote a short little kind of, you know, little piece on it on our site, piggybacking on Jason Jones' story in the B. And, you know, the fact that there's a headline, I think the headline said, DeMarcus Cousins likes his coach. Like, that was the headline, because that's headline news.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, that is a positive sign. And when you talk about the qualifier of, okay, when they lose 3 or 4 in a row, how does everybody respond? You know, we don't know the answer to that. And Dave's response is going to be important when DeMarcus gets frustrated. But the one thing I think maybe the fans are not as aware of as us, as far as being close to the game, that assistant coaching staff that he has is pretty badass. I don't know how else to say it. I hope I can say that on the air. But Bob Thornton, Brian Gates, and Elston Turner, former Kings coach under Rick Adelman, those guys are some of the best assistant coaches in the league. And I think they create a united front in the locker room and a level of experience and grown men type environment that is important. Because sometimes in the past, and this happens with a lot of NBA teams, you've got, you've got assistant coaches who are worried about their next gig and who might not have the player's best interest at heart. This is a good old-fashioned basketball coaching staff from Dave on down, and I think they're probably going to do a really good job.
Sam Amick, USA Today, joined us, our NBA insider. You hear him every week right here on KHTK. Before we switch off the Kings to the national news, very interesting with Adam Silver being here yesterday. He toured the new arena, was extremely impressed. And let's be honest, like, he's going to tour a new arena and go, oh, it's not very good. But he was very impressed. And I think there was a little bit of a game changer yesterday that we're missing because we're so excited about the Open. The Kings forever have wanted to host an All-Star game. And the problem forever, and why Sacramento never has, is they just don't have the hotel rooms. They discussed a little while before about bussing people in from Napa, but now taking a cue out of the Olympics. And Sam, I think when we look back on this in a few years at the All-Star game in Sacramento, this is going to be the breakthrough. It seems that the NBA is now open to, of all things, docking cruise ships in the port of Sacramento for not just players, but fans as well, to take care of the hotel issue. If the NBA is open to that, Adam Silver said the NBA is determined to bring the All-Star game here. Do you see that as the same breakthrough I do?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely took notice of it. I thought it was interesting. Like you said, there's a model for it already from the Rio experience. And I actually was kind of kicking myself. I never was able to get over to those cruise ships in Rio to get a real glimpse of how it worked out. And certainly we wouldn't be talking about the same magnitude and size of ship in Sacramento. But that concept is very smart. And it also just makes it easy for, I mean, if you have a high-level fancy boat, you know, you can take care of this level of clientele that obviously is used to being spoiled. That just is what it is. And I think that'd be a great little loophole in a way around it, because otherwise they're not going to get it anytime soon. I mean, I always applauded the creativity of the Napa idea. And I know you guys had heard about this too, where, okay, what if people stayed in Napa during the All-Star weekend? And then with CHP, you would dedicate a lane just for All-Star traffic and speed up that drive from Napa. And so they were just doing kind of negotiation gymnastics to try to get this thing done. This is a new idea that I hadn't heard before. I think it could lead to the game coming, and that would be great. I mean, you know, I guarantee you the league, they always want to support the city that not only stayed after the Seattle and Anaheim saga, but with the new building and whatnot, they want to help elevate each of their franchises, but the logistics are just tough.
Sam Amick joining us this morning on The Drive. Sam, I want to get to some national stuff. Obviously, the opening of the regular season for the NBA, lots of stuff happening. One of the games that kind of surprised me, and maybe it's because of the performance from Anthony Davis, because he put up some numbers that are just ridiculous, but it came in a loss to Denver. Do you see New Orleans as a team that is going to be able to make any kind of step forward this year if they can stay healthy?
Well, I mean, the health is already a problem.
Yeah.
You know, former King Tyreek Evans out, Drew Holiday with the really challenging situation with his wife having a brain tumor, and to his credit, he's standing by her side and not playing. Who am I leaving out? Quincy Pondexter, still, you know, also out. So health has been a major issue. I felt bad yesterday for Pelicans general manager Dell Demps. He's got some roots in the area. He played at UOP. Very nice guy, and he's been their GM for a while, but he was getting brutalized yesterday on ESPN. I was sitting at lunch with a couple of writers, and, like, every headline on ESPN was basically, like, can we get Anthony Davis some help here, please? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this guy is an amazing player, and the supporting cast is certainly, you know, not the kind of thing that is going to help him be a championship-level player. But, you know, I don't know. It's too bad. And it's also crazy, Katie, how the narratives in this league, it never ceases to amaze me how quickly they change. You know, it's like 1 minute, Anthony is the next great thing. And he's still going to be great no matter what happens. But if you're not winning games, as DeMarcus knows, unfortunately, it just kind of reaches a point where people, they give you your individual respect and then they move on. Because if you're not winning, it just doesn't matter as much. And so now Karl Anthony Towns, who's coming in Saturday, you know, he's got that shine on him, and he's kind of the guy who we're talking about, like an Anthony Davis. I mean, this is a tough league, and these players, you know, they're not making trades. They're not signing free agents. And Anthony's just, you know, he's got a group around him. They lost Eric Gordon. They lost Ryan Anderson. And he just doesn't have a lot of help right now.
One team that does have plenty of help but still struggled would be the Warriors. They have no trouble putting together a supporting cast, but they got stomped in their opener, and I don't want to play doom and gloom for them, but do you see them consistently having troubles with teams that profile like the Spurs, teams that are going to be able to beat them up inside a little bit?
I think so. I'm looking forward to seeing them. They've got the Pelicans on Friday against AD and those guys. I think that's going to be an issue, but Zaza Pachulia is a guy who's been a decent big for quite a while, and he made comments in the preseason about how people think it's easy to play with superstars, and it's really not. And it was kind of a sign to me that, all right, he might take a little while to get comfortable. And then David West, who didn't have a very good first game. You know, Anderson Varejao has become a little bit of a – he's such a nice guy, but a little bit of a punchline among NBA writers whenever he's – and, you know, getting put in the game, we kind of look around and go, oh, boy, Warriors must be in trouble, because he's just not the same guy he used to be. I think that they're going to struggle with that. And it's funny, in the context of the Kings-Spurs game last night, Dwayne Dedmon of the Spurs, who had a nice game and is a really nice young big, the Warriors kind of blew it by not signing him. He wanted to play for Golden State, and they ended up, it was right around the time they signed Pachulia, and I know for a fact that, and I talked to him about it last night, that, you know, he kind of shrugged and was like, well, you know, they went a different direction. I think he would have been a really nice fit. But bottom line, Nate, they're going to be really good. They're going to figure it out. You know, last night I leaned on a few much, much smarter basketball people than myself, and Spurs GM R.C. Buford was one of them. And I just flat out asked him, like, you know, what do you think? Are they going to figure this out? And he just kind of shrugged and shook his head. He said, they're going to be unbelievable. You know, they're going to be fine. The Spurs kind of felt like that was an aberration on opening night.
You know, speaking of the Warriors, I don't think there is another media member who's done more or understands Kevin Durant more than you. You spent a lot of time with him, especially a couple summers ago. We've gone through the move ad nauseum, but I am curious about his public statements. He seems to be at ease with everything, but do you think he really is? Do you think somewhere in the back of his head he is hearing the noise? He is reading what he shouldn't be reading, and do you think he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders that he's very aware of?
I do, Dave. I think I feel like he is. For one, you do hear that he's the kind of guy that does read,
yeah,
you know, stuff that's out there. And so that's one thing that's going to creep into his head. I don't know if you guys saw this story yesterday. I didn't read all of it, but I read a few paragraphs about how apparently he was in the gym working out when the reporters who were with the Warriors in New Orleans came in and to the gym. And unintentionally, they saw a little slice of his routine. And as he was shooting, he was literally yelling, like, to himself.
Yeah.
Like y'all said I didn't work hard. You said I couldn't be here. I mean, it was almost like
said I was a coward.
I was a coward, yeah. And it's like, ooh-wee, okay, now we got a little taste of his psyche, you know, and he's using that for motivation. But, you know, I told somebody last night, I do have the opinion that say the Warriors really do struggle out of the gate, and who knows, maybe they will. I do think he's the kind of personality that he's going to have to be careful to not have that weigh too heavily on him, because I do think that idea that, oh, geez, man, I came to town and I messed it up and they had a good thing going and I'm the problem and it's not the same with me here, you know, that there's a little bit of a risk of him letting that creep into his mind. And on the more X's and O's side, you know, I had a coach last night ask me about Draymond and the idea that, you know, do you think Draymond and what he does is really minimized because of Durant being there? And there's something to be said for that. Like, Draymond's a special player, and what he did last year, playmaking, running the break, things like that, it's just a different dynamic now. The ball's not going to be in his hands as much. You know, we always focus on Steph Curry and how it affects him. The Draymond thing's another wrinkle of that. I think they're going to have some things to figure out here.
Sam Amick writes for the USA Today, covers the NBA. He'll be on with us each and every week as our NBA insider throughout the year. And we were just tickled pink about that. Sam, appreciate the time. It was good not seeing you last night. Maybe next time we can figure that out. And we'll talk to you in a week, my man.
You were down with all the people in tuxes, Dave. That's not where I roll.
But it was a corduroy tux.
Shots fired, yes. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. All right, guys.
See you, buddy.
Have a good one, Sam.